Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Making Monsters. The Bears technically have already played a preseason game and the Hall of Fame game. Not much to see out of that. We could take a few little tidbits away, but this is probably the first real preseason game just because that Hall of Fame game is kind of just a little toss away. But we're joined today by Dom Tibbetts. He's the sports reporter for WKBW up in Buffalo. So Dom, thanks for hopping on with me.
No, thank you for having me, Taylor. Pleasure to be here and excited to talk some Bills Bears. I'm just happy to be honestly talking about football. I'm so excited that football is back.
Same. I feel like once August hits, you just feel like you're about there. And I think the big news of today, Dom, is that both Caleb Williams and Josh Allen will be playing in some form and some amount this weekend. What are you guys expecting in Buffalo? How much Josh Allen do you actually think we'll be seeing?
Yeah, so Sean McDermott kind of dropped a little surprise for us today. It was the last day of training camp, and he spoke to us before. And I did not think, Taylor, he was going to play. I didn't know how much he'd even see in the preseason, because he kind of alluded to the day before when he talked to us was that I don't really feel like at my point in this career right now, I think I need to get in and play these preseason games. But then Sean McDermott kind of comes around and says, well, these live reps are valuable. So he said, I think the exact quote says give or take a quarter with the ones, and Josh Allen was included in those ones as well. So probably about a quarter. And regardless of, you know, how long Caleb Williams gets to see the field this week too, it's an exciting matchup. I mean, Caleb Williams has so much hype around him being the number one guy. And obviously there's so much on the shoulders of Josh Allen, and just getting to see both of them together, it's going to be a really good atmosphere come Saturday.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we're not totally sure how much we'll see of Caleb either. There's been some offensive line injuries, so I'm not sure how much they want to throw him out here this weekend. Some people think a few series. Some people think a quarter. We will see, but at least we will see Caleb Williams throwing for the first time in the NFL, which is definitely, like you said, there's a lot of hype around that. I want to talk a little bit about Buffalo's receiving room. That was a hot topic this offseason, obviously, with the loss of Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, both finding new homes. But I'm going to tell you something, Dom, as I've been kind of talking about wide receivers with the addition of Keenan Allen in Chicago and DJ Moore, and as I'm looking up stats on these wide receivers and what they're really good at, Khalil Shakir has came up on every single chart that I've looked at when it comes to creating, being, you know, getting separation and yards after contact and the, you know, the winning at catch point, all of these type of things. Khalil Shakir is at the top of all of these lists, all of these graphs that you see on Twitter. And I surprisingly have talked a ton about him this last few weeks, and I wasn't really expecting that. I think I just didn't pay enough attention to Khalil Shakir. What is the expectation of how big he's going to be in this offense this year?
Yeah, it's funny. I just did a little story with Khalil, just using some sound that we had from his press conference during camp. And I equated him. He's like a 2010 Toyota Camry, dependable, reliable. He'll get you point A to point B, and he's not going to be too flashy about it. But you also have to realize, too, for a lot of people who don't know this, who aren't too keen in on the Bills, is that coming into this season, you talk about all the change in the receiver room. Khalil Shakir is the only wide receiver in that room right now that's ever caught a pass in a regular season from Josh Allen. So automatically, familiarity with Josh Allen, number one. But number two is something that Joe Brady, offensive coordinator, has alluded to. Josh Allen has talked about it multiple times throughout the offseason so far, is that Khalil's just dependable. He knows where he needs to be on the field at all times. His route running is really good for a guy who has that smaller frame going into his third year in the NFL. It's – it's a good surprise, but I think if a lot of Bills fans will remember too, his second half to last year was insane. I think he had like two touchdowns and 115 receiving yards against the Jets, including that big 80-yard grab that everybody lost their marbles for. So it's for people in Buffalo and people who cover the team, it's not a surprise to see Khalil get back in there. But as you alluded to, like, people don't know this, and you look at all these stats, and I was looking probably at some of the same things you were, and Khalil is right up there with kind of that mid-tier wide receivers that make an impact on this team, and he's certainly going to be needed to make that impact because, again, you know, the whole thing with the receiver room, there's so much new, so much uncertainty, just getting chemistry and timing down with Josh Allen. He is your constant variable in that room, so it makes him very important. He's listed number one in his position on his slot of the receiver in the depth chart so far, which, of course, week one depth chart, preseason depth charts don't really mean anything. But he's there, and we know he's going to be there. We know he's going to be one of the guys in the receiver room that make the 53-man roster, and for good reasons.
Yeah, it's funny how my opinion changed from, like, May to now of what the Bills will look like, because in May I was like, I don't know what they're going to do, honestly, because,
We were like that, too.
And then now I'm kind of like, well, I don't know. It's also Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen's incredible, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But tell us a little bit about Keon Coleman, because obviously that's the draft pick that was selected by the Bills. That's somebody that they are hoping they can develop and make into that next big number one receiver that they've been looking for. They obviously had to trade for Stephon Diggs, so they had to go a different route to get him. And you have the chance to now draft and develop a young guy and someone who a lot of people are really high on. So how has he looked in camp so far?
He's looked good. He has passed. I call it the eyeball test, right? I don't want to necessarily start getting too big on this Keon hype train and saying he's going to be this, and start comparing him. Because, again, you got to see him in like a live game setting. I want to see what he can do a little bit and call it what it is, too. I don't know how much, because he's a one. I don't know how much time we're going to see Keon Coleman play. I would assume maybe a little bit more than Josh Allen. But I like to see him and Josh Allen more consistently. Like, I don't need to see Mitch Trubisky throwing to Keon Coleman. But back to your question, Taylor.
He has
passed it. He has. I know. Listen, he is welcomed in Buffalo. You know, very familiar in the backup room. But he is past the eyeball test. He can definitely make he'll win an argument. And I was talking about this with my sports director, Matt, for camp MVP, not just rookie of camp, not just most improved or anything like that. Like, legitimately had probably one of the best camps out of any player, offense, defense, special teams. You felt like every time during one-on-ones, during team drills, Keon was making plays. It's evident by the Buffalo Bills social media page. It felt like every day Keon and Josh made some sort of play that you're just like, wow, oh my God, like, for a second round pick and this guy is making these. So that's where you get excited, and I think that's where a lot of Bills fans see just the untapped potential of what Keon Coleman has. His big frame, I mean, the one thing that I think that Keon has going for him that's going to really help with Josh, and Josh has a couple guys now in the room that can do this, but his ability to go vertical and go win on one-on-one ball. I mean, it's easy for a guy like Josh Allen to put a ball in a place where only his kind of receivers can get there, and Keon's a perfect guy for him to go up and make those kind of plays. So still want to see, and I'm still not going to put all the chips in the middle and saying, like, Keon Coleman, there it is, that's your bona fide number one guy. But so far, you know, Bills fans have a good reason to be excited about what they're seeing from number zero.
Look, I love that. I think that this wide receiver group that was drafted this year has the potential to possibly go down as one of the better ones in NFL history. It's like, it's wild to see. And like everybody you talk about when it's Xavier Worthy, even the guys at the top, obviously with the Marvin Harrison and the Neighbors and Roman Dunze here in Chicago, but even Brian Thomas Jr. is having a good camp. Xavier Worthy is having a good camp. Keon Coleman's having a good camp. So again, we have to see these guys in real game time, but it's really fun to kind of watch how all of this has gone down when it comes to the wide receiver room. Dom, I will say one thing that we as Bears fans were very jealous of this last year was that the Bills had the guts to fire their offensive coordinator midseason. I guess a little past midseason, but right there, Ken Dorsey, obviously they parted ways. Bears fans were shouting for that it's time to let go of Luke Getsy too. It was just not working. You can tell when an offense isn't clicking. You can tell when the quarterback and the offensive coordinator are on different pages. And clearly they felt that in Buffalo. Joe Brady able to come in and the rest of the season looked really good in Buffalo. What are the kind of expectations around Joe Brady and this year, but with a lot of newness also?
Yeah, I think just to, and on that point though, Taylor, and those are all good observations, and Joe Brady came in and took over. I believe his first game was the Philadelphia game. So this, and I remember I was there. It was rainy. It was miserable. And the Bills lost an overtime thriller to Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. I think it was overtime or it was a close game. I know it was 38-35. It was a bananas game. So he came in kind of off of first week, and it was a tough loss from there. But after that, Joe Brady, I think, had the benefit of the Bills basically playing in survival mode. They had to win basically every single game. And as week 18, that gutsy win over Miami proved, is that it was either – win the division or miss the playoffs. So I think Brady had a little bit of help there just from the team was kind of in this chips in the middle. Let's go play ball. I think what stood out the most about Joe Brady is, and I think Bills fans had to warm up to this, is his diversity in the offense. I think you're going to see the Bills run the football. If James Cook can hold on to it, you're going to see the Bills run the ball. And on a level we haven't seen since, I think LeSean McCoy was a running back there. He is not afraid to kind of give the reins from Josh Allen and let other people on the offense go and do it. Now, he'll be the first to tell you, this is Josh Allen's offense. It's not Joe Brady's offense. Joe Brady says, it's not my offense. It's Josh Allen's offense. So everything is going to run through 17, but you're also not making him try to do everything. The league knows he can. Everybody knows Josh Allen can do anything you make him want to do. But take a little bit of that pressure off, establish some of the play action. I like some of the simple formations that I've seen from camp so far. And I think Dan Orlovsky said it to one of my colleagues that works on the beat with me is when he did an interview with him is, you know, the one thing you want to see from Josh Allen is you want to see him do the simple things. You want to see Josh Allen start to do the boring things, the check downs, things that don't make him throw a 20, 30 yard pass over the middle of the field into double coverage and then, you know, hope that a receiver pulls it down instead of it getting intercepted. So I think Joe Brady is making that easier with him and his attack on the run game now with James Cook and Ray Davis and Ty Johnson when he hopefully gets healthy and back into the mix here is that you're opening up a little bit more play action. Within the 10-yard line, I'm seeing a lot of play action rollout. I mean, they're getting the tight ends involved, and you have Dalton Kincaid that's making his mark there too. So there's a lot of pieces in that offense too, and you go back to Keon, is Joe has a lot to work with, and that's going to be his big benefit. And at the end of the day, he has Josh Allen. You know, it's really tough. Give Ken Dorsey had his good moments and he had his bad moments, but Ken Dorsey also had his good moments a lot of times because he had Josh Allen as a quarterback. So it's tough for an offensive coordinator to truly fail with a guy like Josh Allen, but Joe Brady so far has brought out the best in him and he's brought out the best in this offense. And we'll just have to see how that translates into the season. But if it's based off kind of last year, I think there's a lot of reason for optimism.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did several podcasts this offseason before Justin Fields was traded and before you knew for sure the Bears were going to get Caleb Williams, of just quarterbacks and why other offenses were working and why the Bears just ran so stagnant. And I was trying to see how much was on Justin Fields, how much was on Luke Getsy, how much was on the offensive line, how much was on wide receivers, because obviously they all play a part in that. And one of the guys I talked to, he's part of the something called Sumer Sports. He now works for the Panthers, actually, but Eric Eager. And he was kind of which made me think of what you were just talking about. But he went into the descriptive of sometimes, like, guys like Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel are so good because they give the easy button to their quarterbacks. And yes, you know, they believe their quarterbacks can make the throw. You know, Josh Allen can throw down in double coverage and he could launch it down the field. You know, Josh Allen will tackle somebody if he has to get the extra 5 yards on a first down, but you don't want to make him have to do that all the time. So I like the point of that, of just being able to give him more so not have to play hero ball so much. Cause that's when the turnovers happen. So it'll be fun to watch that. And going back to the run game and you kind of the fumble thing with James Cook, sophomore season, it's funny thinking about how when you're not in the organization, you're not noticing things like that. Because to me, I was like, man, he had over 1,100 yards last season, only a couple touchdowns though. Are you expecting an uptick in that? And are those fumbles, is that a real issue that people are concerned about?
It was a concern for camp for sure. And he was, James was not the only one, you know, before Ty got hurt. I think Ty got hurt so early in camp, we weren't really able to see it. Ray Davis had a couple fumbles in there. The receivers had some drops. So it's all the little beginning of the season kind of things that if you're going to, I wouldn't be anywhere close to a panic or a press for concern button if I'm a Bills fan, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on because James Cook does unfortunately have a track record. I go back to a few games last season where you're in a goal line set within 10 yards and you're looking for that simple pass. James Cook has dropped multiple touchdowns. He dropped multiple touchdowns throughout training camp this week. So you hope that gets better, but in terms of his expectation, he has to. He has to take the next level up. And he had a good 2023-2024. So build on it. He has to because he's such an important part of all the things I just talked about, Taylor, which was how do you relieve Josh Allen of being Josh Allen all the time? How do you make his life simpler? And how do you keep a defense second guessing is, okay, I don't have to just watch where 17 is. I now have to watch where number 4 goes, where 26 goes, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's almost to me, it's like it's not a matter of James Cook having a good year. I think he will, but if I'm Sean McDermott, if I'm Brandon Bean, he has to have a good year. And that's how this that offense takes the next steps and does all the things that we just got done talking about.
I also think for James Cook's sake, he has to be feeling that too, because when you're wide, the running backs aren't getting paid the way they were, but we did just see an offense where several did actually make a decent amount of money. So when you're in that third year as a running back, it's time to start figuring out because the Bears are having that conversation with Khalil Herbert right now. And Khalil Herbert has been a pretty good running back. His issue is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so you can't invest money in a guy who can't be on the field, especially if you're able to find a running back in the draft with not a ton of issues. Let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. I think that last year defensively, there's a lot of guys I really liked on the Bills defense last year when it comes to Terrell Bernard, Leonard Floyd, which I still am so mad the Bears ever got rid of. I was a big Floyd fan. Ed Oliver, AJ Epinesa. So thoughts on that defense and what kind of some of those expectations are this season, being able to roll over what they really, they had some really strong moments last year. Are they able to roll that over?
Yes. Strengths of that defense are Terrell Bernard, like you mentioned, Matt Milano getting healthier. He's going to, like, when you get 58 fully healthy, it could be arguably you need to see another season of Terrell Bernard doing what you saw, but then you see that you could start having a real conversation of top five linebacker duo in the NFL for sure. Defensive line, I mean, you're expecting a big year from Ed Oliver. You're probably going to get that. You have a fully healthy Daquan Jones back, who's kind of having this mid-career resurrection with Buffalo before he also suffered an injury in London last year. The same game Milano hurt himself in London against Jacksonville. And then I think to the ends, Greg Rousseau has locked up his starting spot. He looks great. He had a really good camp. He was my camp MVP. I think he had the strongest camp out of anybody. And they do a lot with him too. And they do a lot with their ends, but more specifically Greg, because he's in every down end, whereas Von Miller, who everybody needs to see and wants to see him kind of go back to old form, he has the James Cook argument where it's Von needs to become Von again or else this defense won't be elite. Yeah. And then you have AJ Epinesa and Dwayne Smoot, who I'm sure, you know, people in Jacksonville are pretty familiar with Smoot. And he had a great camp too. And so interior and then the linebacker core looks strong. Cornerbacks, Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. I mean, a lot of people just from his time in Green Bay and what we got to see last year, Rasul is just a takeaway monster. He knows how to get after it. Christian Benford is like the steal of the draft that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean will, you know, praise forever, because he's just a great lockdown corner who makes big plays when you need it and doesn't get too flashy, stays with it himself. And you're also seeing Kyer Elam take a really big step, which is huge because he's a first-round pick who hasn't lived up to that first-round expectation yet. And a lot of that for Kyer has been getting himself mentally to believe that he's ready to take this next step. You talk to a lot of guys on the team and it's like, what? Because Kyer had another candidate you could call for MVP of camp. And you ask guys like, where was this? Like, what was Kyer? And, you know, I think it was Taron Johnson or maybe Taylor Rapp that said that, you know, Kyer just has to believe that Kyer can make these plays. He gets in his own head. So you have all those things going for. So now you're three deep with, you know, potentially first string cornerbacks, which will be very helpful. The biggest concern, though, is the safety room. And it is far and above the biggest concern overall on this team. Maybe aside from the inconsistency from Tyler Bass, but on the safety room, yeah, with Mike Edwards coming in from Kansas City, you thought he would slide in as your number one safety. I think he would line up strong safety. And then you have Taylor Rapp come play free safety. That's not looking like it anymore because Mike's been hurt during OTAs, and then he got hurt early in training camp, so he hasn't seen any live reps. We haven't seen him in the pads. We really knocked my headphones out. We really haven't gotten to see Mike Edwards do a whole lot. So it's been on Damar Hamlin getting a lot of reps with the one. And Damar Hamlin is a suitable backup safety. But I think in terms of putting first string responsibilities on number three shoulders right now, that's not an ideal situation for the Bills. And, there is a possibility that I'm not sure. I'm not one of the believers in this, but there's a lot of people on the beat and people around Buffalo and fans would like to see number 23, Micah Hyde, come back before the start of the season. The Bills have left the light on for him. They told him, here's our house, the light's on for you if you want to come in. If he sees a spot where he can start, miss bulk of training camp and get himself in to start playing, maybe so. That could be a little bit of a relief to that safety room. But, early on, I don't know how the Bears are going to strategize with Caleb Williams and stuff. But if you want to just put Caleb Williams out there and let him take some shots and let him go get after it in his first start – the Bills safeties are probably the ones you want to take advantage of because it is definitely, like I said, without a doubt, the biggest concern on this Bills defense, which, like you said, otherwise is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Head to toe, but then it's right in the middle, you're right. You get to the toes, I should say. And you're oh, wait a minute. Hold on. These are all bruised and stubbed. What's going on right now? So that'll be something we're going to have to monitor all season with the Bills is that safety room. But you take that away, then I think I've been saying that since even the draft time, as everybody was so focused on what's this offense going to look like. No Diggs, no Davis. Josh Allen has all these new receivers, and first off, you still have 17, but also you keep a pretty good amount of your defense back.
Yeah.
And the Bills defense is very good. Bobby Babich will get his first year as a DC. It looks like he'll call the plays against Chicago. It sounds like on Saturday. So that's a bright spot overall in the defense. Just got to figure out that safety room.
Yeah. Josh Allen is one of those quarterbacks that are like, don't worry, Josh Allen will score. He's going to find a way to score, but your defense can't allow more points than Josh Allen can score.
2021, 13 second. I mean, you ask anybody, the 13 second game, right? Josh Allen can do everything, but if your defense can't stop it, Josh Allen could put you 40.
There's nothing else you could do.
Yeah, exactly. If a team scores 41, you're still going to lose. So.
What about offensive line for you guys? Because I know, obviously, Mitch Morse in Jacksonville, Ryan Bates, who was his backup, also kind of rotational interior here in Chicago. What does the offensive line look like? Are you confident in that and what they've been able to kind of replenish there?
Yeah, it's not as big of a jarring concern as I think it's. Now, Mitch Morse being such a rock steady guy, who was already such a veteran before he came into Buffalo and kind of helped Josh take those next steps in his early part of his career. But you switch Connor McGovern over from guard, so then you have Osiris Torrance with Deion Dawkins, and you have Spencer Brown next to I'm gonna blank on this other lineman. That's really bad. I have to go look. It's not a good look for the Bills reporter right now, but still, there's so many returning pieces within the line. Alex,
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Anderson, there it is. It didn't come to my head. So, yeah, you have a lot of returning pieces to the line, too. It's just the biggest change was shifting McGovern from guard back to his natural position, center, which he played. But I'm sure anybody, you know, can figure this out, Taylor, is that there's a learning curve getting back and playing center and taking snaps. And the fumbles and missed snaps have also been kind of a thing that's been a steady talking point throughout camp so far, too. It's over the last 2 or 3 days, it's gotten better, but definitely in the early part of camp, it was, a little concerning for Josh and Connor. Just couldn't seem to get it down at certain points. But overall, you're going to bring tons of returners back and a lot of guys who have blocked for Josh before. Expect big things from Spencer Brown, who had a really good year last year. I expect him to really solidify himself as one of the better right tackles. Deion is an NFL top 100, wants to be all pro for Josh. You know what you're going to get with Deion Dawkins, and that's consistency. Osiris Torrance, in his second year, he had such a great rookie season. I still can't believe the Bills were able to get him in the second round. So there's a lot of good there. It's just, you know, making sure that McGovern and I think Josh are on the same page. You get that down, then I think you're gonna be fine in that department.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at because I think that like you said, the talk this whole offseason around them has been, what is Josh Allen going to do without Stephon Diggs? And I do think this is a season for Josh Allen to kind of make his mark of, I am the guy, you know, not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but he's a guy who can play at the level of Patrick Mahomes and doesn't need top receivers. He's able to kind of elevate guys around him. And I think this is the perfect year for Josh Allen to be able to do that.
Right. I mean, well, look at the Chiefs last year. I don't know what you and everybody else was thinking about the Chiefs, but I certainly was like, oh, this is not going to be the Chiefs year.
No way.
But then they go off and do that. Now, of course, you know, the only argument I make when I hear that point is like, okay, you had Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. You had such a solidified like 1A, 1B duo that Josh doesn't have. Like Dalton Kincaid is going to be the next premier offensive talent for the Bills. But he's not Travis Kelce yet. You know, and Keon Coleman could be everything you needed from Stephon Diggs maybe, but he's not Stephon Diggs yet, and he's not even close. So that's the other thing too, is like there's always that. And you have Andy Reid, you know, and Sean McDermott has to prove that he can win big games and big moments because he hasn't yet. You know, he's gotten to the Bills in the playoffs, but he hasn't gotten over that secondary hump that the team needs to get to. So there is optimism. There's also, you know, a chance to be real with what the Chiefs did last year. But no, I'm glad you brought that up because there's a valid argument to make where it's like, okay, can't count the Bills out just despite the fact that they don't have the Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, and they lost all these pieces. You still have 17 and an offense that has looked capable in certain parts of training camp.
Now, let's flip it over to the Bears a little bit, some of the Bears side of the ball and maybe some of the newness. But I also just want to talk about the organization as a whole, Dom, because the Bears and Bills have been in very different kind of organizationally very different situations, especially the last 5 years. The Bears have not won a lot of games the last 5 years. And I think the big comparison for the being patient with Justin Fields was always like, okay, well, give it a little bit of time. Josh Allen needed Stephon Diggs to take that next step. Jalen Hurts needed A.J. Brown to take that next step. So when the Bears got D.J. Moore, people kind of expected everything to click and be good and it be obviously sailing away. And then now here we are hitting the reset button with another quarterback. But how is the view of from the outside of what the Bears have done the last few years? And, you know, obviously Caleb Williams is still a TBD. We need to see him. But Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, the way they've been able to build this offensively and now have a quarterback that they're hoping is going to be that next guy.
It's funny because you talk about them being at two different points, but I distinctly thought of it as like a graph where like, you know, because I think of when Mitch Trubisky was with the Chicago Bears, and I think of, you know, the 2017 season when the Bears were up here and the Bills were like still down here, and now they've just kind of like crisscrossed a little bit. So I see similarities, and I know with your guys' draft this past year, it was something you guys were able to do because of your two first round draft picks. But I mean, the Bears had a killer draft. I mean, you got Caleb Williams and Romo Dunze. Yeah. I mean, you talk to anybody on the Bills beat knowing that Marvin Harrison Jr. was not going to fall to you. The trade up scenario that every Bills fan wanted, that a lot of the people on the beat were thinking, was the Bills will sell a mortgage to come up and go get Romo Dunze somewhere in the top 10. So I think it's an up and coming franchise that I see a lot of similarities with how the Bills have gotten there. I hope for Chicago Bears fans' sake, I'm just going to speak on this personally. I don't represent the view of Bills writers or the Buffalo Bills, but I pray for Bears fans. Caleb Williams works out. Yeah. I think he will. He's got everything going for him. He's a prototypical number one quarterback that you need to build the franchise around. I just hope it works. And it looks like they've built the good, you know, pieces around him. You talk about a couple of the guys too, like you have Rome, but you also have DJ Moore. You have some veteran wide receivers in that room. Khalil Herbert, you know, weapons for him to, you know, try to make those easy passes. Cole Kmet still with the Bears, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then you have Cole Kmet. You have a very suitable tight end on that roster as well. So I like what the Bears are doing. I think it'll always, you know, the thing with the Bills was Josh Allen had to become Josh Allen for the Bills to become who they are. Caleb Williams probably has to become everything that Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears believe Caleb Williams is, that warned them to go and get him with the first overall pick this past year. So there's nothing, I don't think, within myself or most people that know football think that would tell you otherwise, that Caleb Williams is the right guy to do this. And maybe it's only a couple more years until you and I are talking about a mid late season, regular season thing where you're going for the NFC North and we're going for the AFC East. And who knows, maybe we're talking Super Bowl. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves for both of our sakes here, but it does look like the Bears are doing the similar things that I saw the Bills do that became what made the Bills who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going back to Romo Dunze, because I was very, very high on Romo Dunze. Like you said, I knew Marvin Harrison. There's no way that wasn't happening, but I was very much Romo Dunze over Malik Nabers. And so when Atlanta said Michael Penix, my heart dropped. I was like, this is a joke. Like, there's no way. That
I did too. Still can't believe it. I'm still waiting for the April Fool's joke to reveal itself.
I know. So anyways, a second ago, I mentioned the offensive line and one of the guys being Ryan Bates, who Ryan Poles was very into even a few years ago and tried to offer him I think it was like during one of the tag transition tags or something like that, because the Bills matched and ended up keeping Ryan Bates. A couple years later, Ryan Poles gets Ryan Bates. I know he's a backup piece there, kind of played everywhere in the interior when he needed to. But what can you tell us about Ryan Bates and kind of what to expect from him?
Yeah, he's a Swiss Army knife. Can play center, can shift the guard, a little too undersized to play tackle, but he can play all your interior. And one thing that always stood about Ryan Bates, and I think is why, you know, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott love him so much and wanted to keep him around, was a big thing that they preach in Buffalo is character. And you feel like, okay, that's just coaches talk. Like, of course every team wants good character guys in their locker room. But I think about like talking to a couple Bills players after camp today, and we just asked them summaries of camp, is like, how did you feel like camp went? And they're like, the vibes are different and the vibes are good because there's forced camaraderie and guys are getting along, having these one-on-ones. I think of a guy like Ryan Bates, he was so beloved by everybody in that locker room. He earned Josh Allen's trust almost immediately. When, you know, I think of times when, you know, even Osiris Torrance was a little banged up, or you had to switch things around. If I know Mitch, had to come out for a game or two here or there. So Ryan Bates is a guy who was immediately ready to come in and did an adequate job. And again, had 17's trust, knew that he could be in these pressure situations. When Josh and the offense have to keep moving, you have a guy like Ryan Bates. And again, it's like I said in the beginning, Swiss Army knife, his versatility, I think, is always what stood out to me too, aside from the locker room character aspect. Yeah. There's so many things I feel like you guys will be able to kind of get out of him. And you know, even if he's your bench piece now, you're going to be so happy that a guy like him is there rather than try to bank on some third, fourth round rookie, which you know, the Bills are banking on with a guy like Will Clapp or, you know, Keaton Bills, who's now working his way from the third team. But, you know, you don't have to worry about that with a guy like Ryan Bates. He's been in big moments. He's been in big games. When you need him to come in, you're not going to miss a beat.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I noticed when Ryan Poles was making moves. Like the previous year, it was more so, let's start building something that's going in the right direction. Let's get some, rid of some of this dead cap. But this year, I felt like he was a lot more, let's bring in guys who do have experience in the playoff, have experience in big moments. And that is guys like Ryan Bates. Obviously, both Keenan Allen and Gerald Everett have been in the playoffs in recent years. DeAndre Swift went obviously with Philly last year, big moment. So you could see that Ryan Poles is like, let's bring some experience in here, because the Bears had 7 wins last year, but they were 4 plays from 10 wins just because they blew 3 20-point leads during the season. So there's a lot of moments where you felt like that the season could have gone a lot different. But a couple more before I let you go, Dom, because another kind of exchange that the Bears got from the Bills is Eric Washington, defensive line coach for you guys, assistant head coach, one of the assistant coaches. And now he is the defensive coordinator here in Chicago. And we just talked about how good that defensive line and some of those pieces that were on the Bills line last year and what they looked like. So what is he bringing to Chicago? What kind of defense? And he actually was in Chicago previously a while ago, but what is he bringing now to what this Bears defense can be?
It's because you're not around the defensive line all the time. And we got to talk to Eric obviously a lot more because he was even though he wasn't calling the defense, when you talk to the coordinators, he would talk about the defense. So you'd always have Sean, even though Sean was calling the defense, then you'd have Ken Dorsey or Joe Brady, and then Eric Washington would come in and talk with us. So you get minimal time to just kind of pick his brain a little bit, and he's specifically working with the line, so it's tough to get his view on the cornerback or the linebackers. But the best thing I can do to, you know, for what Bears fans want to hear about Eric Washington probably is that you look at the guys in the Bills room who have all made big leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. Ed Oliver, best example. I mean, you get a guy like Ed Oliver who had such raw talent, first round pick, a top 10 pick, and you put him around a guy like Eric Washington, it's worked. He's also brought up the now defensive line coach Marcus West, who is very beloved by the guys in the Bills in that defensive line room. But he's also brought up and made Marcus an exceptional defensive line coach that has earned the respect of the room, but he's also worked with the defensive end. So again, you have Greg Rousseau, and then they went out and had the confidence to re-sign AJ Epenesa. And that's all spawns off of the things that Washington was able to do as a defensive line coach. But you also have to understand too now is that not only are you, if you're Chicago, you're bringing in a guy who has molded NFL talent to become one of the elites in their position. You're also a guy who, as an associate head coach, who played for an organization that's won 4 straight division titles, and has brought up, again, the talent, but also just the experience of helping a Chicago defense do the things that playoff teams do, right? Like, that's what the Bills in 2019 and all the climb when they started making the playoffs consistently is you had to start doing things like a playoff team. A guy like Eric Washington comes in, I'm sure with the utmost confidence he's going to make that defensive line room or the defense in general with Chicago do things that playoff teams do that, again, probably make the difference between, like you said, Taylor, losing those 3 games to have 7 wins or winning those 3 games. You get 10 wins in and now you're a playoff team. And as we all know, anything can happen in the playoffs, So, and it goes back to a point too, is getting off track a little bit, because when we were talking about like putting pieces around Caleb Williams, thank you for bringing up Keenan Allen. That's a monster piece. That one slipped my brain. But again, it goes around like you put the pieces around Caleb Williams, but it's like the Bills argument too, where it's like you can score 40 points, but if a team scores 41, what are you going to do? Well, now you got a guy who can bring in this expertise on this defense that knows, how to win ball games and how to win ball games defensively. I think of like the Bills playing the Chiefs in the regular season. Now, it doesn't mean anything because the Bills can't get it done when it matters the most against the Chiefs in the playoffs, but a large part of their regular season success against the Chiefs is Sean McDermott, Eric Washington defense that has held the juggernaut Chiefs to less than 24 points in their last 3 regular season games per game, not total, but like 24 points or less per game against the Chiefs. So yeah, a lot of reason to, I think if I'm a Bears fan, to be excited about what Eric will do. He's not the biggest boom, bang the podium kind of guy, but as long as your defense is good, I don't think Bear fans are going to be too concerned about his vocal leadership in front of a microphone.
Yeah, the last year when it's funny because talking about we didn't even have a defensive coordinator after like week two last year because he got fired in week two. So for the rest of the year, there was no DC. It was just Matt Eberflus calling defense and having to be a head coach. And that's why a lot of people, when they were calling for Matt Eberflus to be fired at the end of the season, I was like, this man was playing defensive coordinator, head coach, was dealing with the offensive coordinator, couldn't call plays. It was just a disaster. Give him another year with, you know, a little bit of help around him. And then to the point of Ryan Bates too, I keep telling people, we don't know. We're not sure if it's going to be him or Coleman Shelton. They went and got both of them in the offseason to kind of see who is going to be at that center position. But last year, the center, I mean, it was just the one of the most sad things to watch in the entire world because they couldn't snap. The balls are flying over Justin's head in between his legs. They were constantly getting false starts. As soon as there's any pressure in the interior, they're getting pushed back into Justin. So as long as it's not that, honestly, it's an improvement at this point.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Not totally getting it.
So Saturday, 1 p.m., we've got Bears versus Bills. Preseason game number 2 for the Bears, 1 for the Bills. Give me a few things that you're looking for as you're watching this first Bills preseason game. I'm guessing the safety room is going to be part of, like, you know, what Caleb can do against the safety room. It's probably going to be number one. Yeah.
Number one, the safeties. I because I'm also, like, it's like we were talking about earlier, Taylor. So I'm curious to see with the Bears, like, what Caleb gets to do. Like, how much do you, knowing he's your number one guy, that you're not going to push him too hard, and you don't need to. It's a preseason. It doesn't matter. But you want also the live reps for a rookie who hasn't seen NFL action. So I'm curious to see how much you're going to utilize him, how much the Bears are going to throw him out there and what they do. As purely speaking, just because I'm going to be down on the sideline shooting the game, fireworks are always fun. Caleb Williams airing it out a couple times and just seeing what Keenan Allen and DJ Moore can do. You know, if they can work past the cornerbacks and, you know, because you're probably also not going to see a lot of Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford, you know, when the ones kind of come out, you're going to see more of the Kyer Elams and the Cam Lewis's and Jamarcus Ingram. So there's an opportunity for Caleb to develop some confidence there too, knowing that you're going to be going against some twos, but you're still going to get those reps to help you build your confidence, get your rhythm and timing down with your receivers. And what better situation, again, to do that with? I don't know how the Bills take away their ones at safety. Because you take away Taylor Rapp and Damar Hamlin, then it's – I think you'd have to slide Cam Lewis up, and then you probably bring in 36-year-old.
And then you're playing.
Junior Jackson. Yeah, no, literally. I don't know if the calves can hold up to that anymore, but they might be. Anybody who can run really fast with a camera down the sideline might be lining up in the safety room. So for the Bills, yeah, I'm going to be watching the safety room, just seeing how they hold up, how they stack up. Want to see Keon. I think Keon's going to be a big one just to see him in a game and just to see how he can keep building off some of the things that he's been criticized for, which is the lack of separation, the lack of vertical speed. How can he utilize the skill sets that we've gotten to see in camp and how does that translate to a live game setting? And then honestly, I think this is kind of a really chalky one. I kind of want the Bills to kick like 6 field goals because I got to see Tyler Bass be consistent. Yeah. And he, because if you wanted another like concern about training camp, was that it was Tyler Bass, his inconsistency. And I don't know if it's just he's holding on from, you know, what happened last year and how the season ended at home against Kansas City in the divisional game. But Sean McDermott said today that, you know, because I think somebody had asked him, like, what are some of your maybe your camp MVPs, people who stood out to you? And he was trying to think of an answer. And I think the first name that came to his mind, unfortunately, was Tyler Bass. And a couple of us, like, I looked at my friend who works in a for one of the other stations next to a camera next to me, and I looked at her and I just was like, did he just say Tyler Bass stood out to him in a good way? So yeah, I mean, that's a legitimate thing, because, you know, you take Keon away and you've got a lot of veteran wide receivers that aren't going to be seeing too much of Josh, so I don't want to put too much stock into watching Marquez Valdez-Scantling with getting reps with the twos. You know, I would like to see how he does in a game because he's kind of had an underwhelming camp. Yeah. But a lot of those storylines I'm not going to focus on too much in this first preseason game. So it leaves a lot of room for, you know, me to look for the special teams because, again, it's the Bills' first preseason game. Yeah. First time we're going to get to see this team in that game setting. And I'm just excited, too, that we get to, you know Orchard Park. Well, football, and then Orchard Park is going to be the very first stop for Caleb Williams. So
yes, that is exciting.
It's not very often you get to cover a number one overall draft pick's first ever game in the NFL. Yeah. So
Yeah, it will. But and I will never shun special teams play after the double doink. First of all, rewind back to the double doink days.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it earlier. I didn't want to bring up, you know, because like your double doink is like Bills fans is 13 seconds. So I have to be careful when I drop a 13 second reference in there. So, but yeah, you understand.
But and then in addition to that, I think this year with the new kickoff, I think everybody's doing it a little bit different. You're trying to figure that out. The Bears have Torrey Taylor, who they drafted from Iowa, obviously, who is supposed to be this next big punter. There's a lot of interesting things happening in Bears special teams, too. I think the one thing for me to look at, if you want to kind of evaluate some of the Bears' bigger question marks, and that's the pass rush. Outside of Montez Sweat, there's not a whole lot there, but they drafted a guy, Austin Booker, this draft. And so he's kind of someone we're keeping an eye on because they're hoping he's going to be able to kind of step up and be that guy. Javon Dexter from Florida, he had a really good season last year towards the second half, but we need a little bit more in general pass rush, but especially in the interior. So that is going to be one of the things I'm looking at. That's why I was asking about your offensive line, because I'm like, what are we going to be? How much are we going to be tested with that defensive front? So we will see. But Dom, thanks so much. Like we said, football's back, and you get to see Caleb Williams and hopefully is the beginning of a very long, fun career.
Yeah, no, it'll be a good time. Exciting. You know, Josh Allen versus Caleb Williams, get your popcorn out and finish it by the end of the first quarter, because that might be when both of them are done. So no, it'll be a good time. Taylor, thank you for having me on as always. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, and have a good one.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.